The World Show with Nikki B.
Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.
And right now we are continuing to celebrate Africa. I'm joined at this point by three of our special guests, and I think we'll be joined a little bit later by another one. But welcome to the World Show. I'm just going to say your names and then I'll tell people a little bit about you. Alexander, or Alex Schultz, being the director of the Reeperbahn Festival. Also from the Reeperbahn Festival is Evelyn Sieber. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right, Evelyn. But she also works with the showcases. So she's going to be telling us what her contribution has been. And the beautiful Eugen Blackrock. What can I say? A totally beautiful wordsmith. And almost post-apocalyptic, funky way of presenting her lyrics as a hip-hop artist. Thank you all for joining me. Hello, welcome to the World Show. Yes.
Hello, thank you,
hey
Nikki.
There.
Yes.
Hi, Nikki.
Good to have you here. And as I said, you know, for me, I'm an artist myself, and I always say these are not interviews. These are chats about creation, about music, about culture, and about exciting things. And Alexander, tell me a little bit about the Reeperbahn Festival, when it started, how long it's been going, and what it is considered.
Well, hi, Nikki, and thanks for having
sure.
us here.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
Well, the event Reeperbahn Festival does exist since the year 2006. And it's, I brought it into Europe, into Hamburg, because I was inspired, this is no secret, by South by Southwest, which my first visit there in Austin was back in the year 2000. And it took us like 6 years to install something for Europe, which is in a way a little bit similar, but much smaller and very much concentrated on music, still on music,
yes.
Not that much on film or interactive. And yeah, it's both. It's a festival for the general public at one hand. And at the same time, it's a music conference for the music business all over the world. And well, since we're doing it since 2006, which means it's the 16th year now.
Yes.
And I would say it has established as, of course, after South By, up to one of the most important business meetings and showcase festivals at the same time in the world. And
yes.
Maybe the most important in Europe, if you want to launch new talent from all over the world to the public and to the music professionals all over as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, there's some more questions I want to ask you about it, but
yeah.
I have to ask you about, how do you pronounce it, Reeperbahn?
Reeperbahn.
Because I went online to say, you know, I know it's Hamburg in Germany, but what's Reeperbahn?
Right.
And apparently it's this really, like, lively area with a lot of bars and what happened. Yes. Why Reeperbahn?
Yeah.
Is it in Reeperbahn? And so forth. Yes.
Yeah, it's on the Reeperbahn. It's the place, of course, it's a red light, known as a red light district as well, but also known since the 60s. As the place where the Beatles grew world famous, because they grew world famous there and not on there. So there is a pop cultural historic element in it as well, besides the red light district. And I can say nowadays, there's also a lot of theaters and musical theaters, and besides the music clubs, and of course the red light district.
Yes.
So yeah, when coming back to my point, being inspired by South By and what it's going to happen there on 6th Street. Yes, we have the theater. I mean, they only have music clubs in the 6th Street in Austin. And in our place, there's also red light part and theaters. But you will find lots and venues door by door. And if you
yes.
want to check out new talents from all over the world, you can just drop in, check it out for one or two tracks. If you don't like it, move next door, check out the next one. No matter if you belong to the general public audience or you're a music professional and want to check out new acts from all over the world.
Yes, so it happens.
And new talents, yeah.
It obviously happens at different venues when the festival happens, COVID-free, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
It would happen.
I didn't tell you. It's 4 days, lasts
yes.
for 4 days. And it's like 70 or 90 venues per day. So it's a lot of acts.
Yes.
So you would see like, 600, 700 concerts
wow.
and and hundreds of panel sessions. Yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah, it's really a lot of program, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I hope to visit there one day when we're not in this pandemic. But one more thing before I move to Evelyn. Speak about, you know, different musics from the world, and that's what inspired you. So, you know, what has always served that? Have you always been interested in particularly pop music or that which is, you know, considered part of popular culture? Or have there always been different styles and showcasing like you are this time?
Well, I can tell you what the thing that inspired me in, again, coming back to my first visit in Austin, Texas, was the, and visiting South By, was mentioning that there is so many different styles of music and the respect between the musicians of every genre. And a high level and a high quality. And this is something I took out from there and wanted to install in our event as well. I have to, well, honestly, we are covering every genre, I would say, except we're not very strong in heavy metal.
Yes.
And we are not very strong in jazz, but I'm talking about jazz. I'm talking about the classical jazz. I mean, I'm not talking about fusion jazz and new forms of jazz. Yes. This would be performed in our event, as well as the contemporary classic genre. Not the classic and not the jazz and not the metal. These are the only three genres I would say they don't belong to our event for different reasons. I mean, there are industries for these genres as well, but somehow it didn't fit yet.
Yes.
But and all the rest of the music, especially fusion. Yeah, sorry, Evelyn.
And world music also, like the classical world music. Like, we do all these genres in a kind of
new way. Whenever it's new, like the classic, the contemporary classic, or like, since 2 years, we've noticed that we got getting strong. Of course, besides hip hop and everything is going to happen there, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Yes. But also, like genres like the new country music, the new acts around, and very different from the traditional country from Nashville, but also based in Nashville mainly or other places in the world. But new country, suddenly it's going to happen. So, I mean, there is, of course, room for all these styles, especially if they are mixed with modern tunes.
Yes.
Mostly electronical parts and or hip-hop.
Okay, great. Now, I don't know if I should be gearing this question to you or to Evelyn, but maybe you can both answer. Now, it seems that you've now, you make a point of having this Pan-African representation, if I can say. At what point did you decide, you know what, we must make sure that there is African music featured here?
Well, shall I?
Please do, Evelyn.
Ladies. Yes. Yeah, well, basically, when we started, when in 2016, we started to make little spin-offs, kind of, that we went into markets and took a delegation of European business music industry players with us. And kind of try to connect them where we go. We take them to music conferences that are happening on the site, so they meet a lot of different people there. So this is what we've been doing in the past, and we were luckily enough that the foreign ministry actually identified our event as something they would want to support, and for the international activities. We get funding now, and so we looked at different territories and we're like, okay, this is really helping the music industry get together, both in Europe as well as in the US. And so we looked at different markets, of course. Okay, what if you are a medium or small sized indie label or whatever, what markets are important and what markets are really hard to get into on your own without knowing too much, without having contact yet? And that one of them, I mean, basically, actually, the first one on the list was Africa, and then you start digging into it, and then you start looking, and then we stumbled, luckily, across the Music in Africa Foundation,
yes,
a fantastic organization who are doing an annual conference in different countries.
Yes, in Africa. Yes,
exactly. And so I went and have a look in 2018 in Kenya, and that was mind blowing. And I've been to Africa before, but I didn't really dive much into the music scene.
Yes.
And that was so fantastic, and brings us, especially also with the different locations, traveling events, it really helps us to get an idea of the African market. And for us, because especially for us, what's really important is we don't want to say, okay, Africa, come to Europe and we tell you how to do it and blah, blah, blah. No. Like, we need to go into the territory. That's really important. We need to understand it and then build relationships and come up with a joint plan. Like, this is something that's very important to us. And so the AXIS, which is the conference, the name of the conference of the Music in Africa Foundation, they just delivered all of these opportunities at once. So,
yes.
And then we went in 2019 for the first time. Well, and then the COVID happened.
Yes.
So
last year never happened.
Yes. Yes. Well, and we are hopefully looking for a long-term relationship in bringing both more African music to Europe, as well as providing an opportunity for people in Europe who are interested in the African market to go vice versa.
Okay, well, that was one of the things that interested me so much about the festival, was almost this,
I knew it.
Yes, was this mindfulness about saying, you know what, we must create a space. If there isn't representation, let's make sure that there is. And I think, you know, it's as a big fan of African music, for me, I want it to be shared with the world. And that, for me, makes me very happy, because not only do I believe it's music that deserves to be shared, but also, you know, it's so good for our musicians to reach global platforms. And I want to speak to you more about the showcase event, but I think for now, let me just introduce Eugen properly and play one of her songs, and after that, we'll come back and chat some more. So welcome to a home sister who's all the way, did you say in Catalonia?
That's right.
Catalonia. Yes, Eugen Blackrock. Thank you for being with us. Are you feeling a bit homesick now that you're speaking to Kaya FM?
You're healing the homesickness. You're doing such a great job. As soon as I heard your voice on the line, my heart just settled, you know? little things that you miss about home, the way someone says something,
yes.
You know, the spirit with which we laugh, you know? I feel so at home.
Yes. And
you know,
what are you doing in Catalonia?
Trying to get as much outside as I can. I think
yes.
Evelyn said it pretty well
yes.
about last year.
Yes.
And being cooped up in the house. Right now, I really just wanted to be outside, close to nature as well, seeing as I can't really go home. Working, trying to kind of settle myself.
Yes.
Write some new songs as well.
I think
this is a time to just do that as
yes.
well.
Yes. So now, Eugen, you are a hip-hop star, I can say, coming from South Africa. What does it mean to you to be showcased on a festival like this? And how did that come about?
Yeah, I could spend hours and hours telling you about this. One, it's a really awesome feeling to have a fellow South African referred to you in that way.
Yes.
I think as an independent artist, and I think a lot of independent artists at home have this whole, the same kind of feeling. The need to get recognition outside of home so that home can accept you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're from, we can talk about the industry all day, every day, and complain. It's an industry. It works on money. Whereas artists are more in tune with the process, with the creativity, the stuff that makes them grow. So I do find, like, amongst my fellow artists, there's a certain disappointment with how the industry works, with how the industry treats artists and creatives, and that you almost feel as though getting ahead just purely on merit is a fairy tale.
Yes.
Which is why when I find myself in these spaces, you know, I went to Hamburg once. I performed in a club called Villa Oily, and I never thought I'd go back. I haven't gone back, but I'm working with folks from Hamburg,
yes.
presenting Africa to the world.
Yes.
Something epic for me, and I think also for everyone that's kind of like-minded. It kind of shows you that these stereotypes and this rhetoric that you really have to struggle and you will not make it, it doesn't really fly.
Yes.
Is there enough people that are willing to invest their time, their effort, money, definitely, because this is how we're working, you know?
Yes.
To try and encourage that, to nurture it so that the whole world can see it properly in its professional state. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be in this space, and also to be in a space where I'm not fighting the machine.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Hip hop cats, we're often complaining about that sound and having to put our sound systems together. The whole DIY element of it has been glorified so much that you almost expect subpar performance,
yes,
or a subpar execution of something, you know.
Yes.
So I'm really happy to be empowered to showcase my skill with the lovely people that I'm working with. I'm happy to be in contact with lovely, open-minded organizers and, you know, event, you know what I mean, event folks. This gives me something that I feel like when I go home and I'm hanging out with my friends who rap and make beats and sing, I can say, okay, girl, listen, this is how we do this.
Yes.
This is how we do that. Because I've seen a system that works, and I can compare what we have, and instead of letting that drag me down, I can say, well, we can fix this here. We can do this for ourselves here.
Yes.
It empowers you even more.
Well,
when a bigger structure can recognize that. Sorry for rambling.
No, I think that's great, because I think that's what it's about. And, you know, it's what, like what you're saying, even the most successful artists in a place like South Africa, it's still a struggle, because there's a shortage of venues, there's a shortage of spaces, different variety of festivals. So for me, the future is global, but also the enrichment that I think artists get through sharing, through festivals, actually. I've seen it so much through festivals. I must just welcome our Kiwe. She managed to connect to us. Welcome to the conversation. A beautiful, beautiful hip-hop artist coming. In fact, they call her the Queen of Indabele hip-hop.
Right.
Yes, coming from Zimbabwe. So we'll also be playing some of your music. Thanks for joining us. I'm pleased you managed to connect.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the World Show too.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you all. But I think it's time for a song, and I've decided to start off with one of Eugen's, and I love Eugen's conscious lyrics. Really beautiful. She's really, you know, you really are a wordsmith. And this one that I decided to play is called Eugen. It's called Obsidian.
Obsidian Night.
Thank you for night. Yes. And this one's off your new album.
Yes, it is, from Anima Mysterium.
Thank you so much. Let's hear this track, and then we are back to the conversation with people that inspire me, people that share a common love and passion for music that deserves to be heard. You're listening to The World Show. Kaya 959, on the street, on the air, and that is a Eugen Blackrock, one of tonight's special guests, her latest album, Anima Mysterium, and the track is Obsidian Nights. Now, I do want to play more music as well, but I still want to go back, and Eugen and Awa, I want to speak to you more about your music a little bit later on, both of you, but I want to go back to Alexander and Evelyn, because I want you to find out more about how you are working this year, because and also, as you mentioned, Alexander, it normally, from what I can gather, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the Reeperbahn happens at different centers. So can you explain the global aspect of it? Oh, sorry, I didn't give you any. There you are. Yes. Sorry, can you repeat that, Alexander?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me well?
Yes, it was I pulled the fader. Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's been a difficult year, of course, like for everybody, and of course, especially for not only for artists, but also for events that normally take place in presence. Just maybe going back to last year, what we did was like offering a hybrid version of the event. And as I mentioned before, that there's especially talking about the music professionals attending our event in normal years.
Yes.
It's about 5,500 to 6,000 from all over the world. We decided in 2020 to only offer the music professionals program, like conferences and matchmakings and also showcases in the digital world. And that was very special. And we only made this decision like 10 weeks before the event took place in September 2020, which was hard in a way. It was quite clear that people couldn't travel. On the other hand, we were still offering live events in the clubs, a very short number, which we almost all of them were recorded and broadcasted, not only through our own media activities and media production teams, but we also had the most important European cultural broadcasting station, Arte, which is based in France and Germany as well, at the same time on board, and the German broadcasters as well. And so we were unable to spread only these like few concerts, like a few hundreds only, I would say like 150 were only happening also all over the world, to the public audience as well as to the music business people wherever they were based. And we allowed like 20% live audience and presence, like in a kind of model character. And it was really, I mean, I can tell you, it was well, big work on few people.
Yes.
Everybody had to like register in every venue. If you change venues, and we had to keep the distance rules and hygienic rules, yes, and all these things. Shows only lasted like 40 minutes. It was like 2 hours to clean every small club.
Wow.
And to decontaminate it. And but we wanted to show. I mean, it was a mission. It had nothing to do with the, I mean, no economic mission. It was like,
yes,
we are there and we can do it. Even our business. We were really secure. We could track all the people, every guest, every attendee could be tracked. I mean, we didn't have the dates, but they were given.
Yes.
They were kept secure. And so, and nothing happened.
Yes.
Finally,
amazing.
Talking about COVID, there was nothing.
No reports.
Nothing.
No reports.
Nothing.
Yes. But that's amazing.
You
know, and I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, so that came out of our immediate global crisis, which, as you said, having to make that decision at the last minute with a festival that's already established, because none of us knew what was going on from day to day, week to week. I think in some ways we still aren't. But did that experience, have you found that experience from having to suddenly become, the biggest proportion is digital, you've got obviously some people there for life. Do you feel that in some ways that's also given you another opportunity looking forward into better times?
Yeah, something of course will stay from this experience last September.
Yes.
And I mean, you can, we get very professional with that, like hybrid and digital formats. And I mean, like we can see in the event starting tomorrow,
yes,
the Pan-African Urban Festival, or three weeks ago, Evelyn, we did China in a digital way. Nashville, and China was 2 weeks,
yes,
again before that. But of course, we learned a lot last September. We,
yes,
learned really a lot. We not want to stick to it longer than we do have to, but
yes,
we can add
yes,
some of the elements, and that's of course the question you just put. We are planning this in this September, even if we have the possibility to get fully and in presence again. We want to stick to, especially in the professionals program,
yes,
to offer matchmakings, for example, as well for artists and music professionals,
yes,
which have not the possibility to travel for different reasons, which should not be the pandemic, but take,
yes,
part in our event as in a hybrid format with those who are at the place But my, maybe yeah, if you don't have the money, or you don't have the budget, or the time, or whatever, or it's your family, and you got stuck in South America, or Africa, or Australia, I mean, naming places which are far away from Europe, and you should have the possibility to take place. And we are, we have learned how to, I mean, we've been, like, for example, programming the matchmaking tool ourselves, and learning how to do, to perform digitally above Zoom format, a little bit more lively and things like that. We did all these experiences, and they, of course, we learned a lot, and we would add it to the live event in the future.
Fantastic.
Yeah, this will stay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now maybe I should speak to Evelyn about this, but Evelyn, so the main part of Reeperbahn Festival, I don't know if I can call it that, happens in September. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically our mother event.
Yes, your mother event happens in Reeperbahn in September. But now, as you've been talking about, you know, China, where else did you say, different centers, have you been are these showcase events that happen at different centers? How does it work? Yes.
That's what I was mentioning earlier, is that we identified markets that are hard to get into for small and medium-sized businesses, and we are taking them there and also including artists in most of them to showcase in that territory.
Yes.
And but the one thing which is really important is the matchmaking that Alex was mentioning. Matchmaking is basically, it's speed dating for business.
Yes.
So, and this works brilliantly digital as well. So this is definitely a component we can take along. And the reason why we always stretch this point so much is about, it's the business. Yes. But, you know, we bring the artist and we present the artist. And at the end of the day, because sometimes you take an artist to a place and they perform and it's great and then they leave and that's it.
Yes.
And what's really important for us is to get the people behind it involved.
Yes.
That's the important stuff. Make them talk to other people, make them make connections, let them meet a label from, like, for example, I don't know, Eugen, I don't know what you exactly need still in Europe. Like, maybe you need a label, for example. So your man, Eugen's management is invited. When we have the show on tomorrow, we have a digital backstage room where the European and the African delegation that we select, they are in this digital backstage room, and Jürgen's manager will be there, and we will introduce them and be like, hey, here, you are welcome to talk. And so these are the things that we encourage and that we try to move forward is because at the end of the day, this is what the artist benefits more than having, I don't know, having a paycheck for one show where they go and then they leave and that's it. So, and this is why we're always, it might sound a little bit German.
No, I love it.
We are saying business, but this is what we identified in helping the artist most, is to concentrate on the networks behind it.
No, I think that's fantastic.
It's sustainable. It's much more sustainable for the artist.
Yes, the artist is still performing. There's still the opportunity to see the artist. I'm sure there's other artists who maybe aren't performing on a specific year, but they're still,
and they get paid.
Yes, there's still an opportunity for them to gig, to do their performance. But at the same time, there's added value because it can be extended beyond, as you say, Alex, just the festival. I want to speak to Awa. Awa, are you there now? I know that your signal is not so great.
It's not so great.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, not at all. You just look so beautiful, but your voice is also great, so it's fine. So where are you right now, Awa? Where are you?
Right now.
Yes.
Right now I'm in Germany. I'm in Hanover.
Okay, so you're already there.
I'm already there.
Yes. Good. But Awa, you come from Zimbabwe, and, you know, as I said later on, I want to speak in more detail to you and Eugen, who are two of the artists with us. But for now, what are your feelings about being invited to perform as part of the African showcase for this year's Reeperbahn Festival?
I was so excited, honestly, because I have known about Reeperbahn for a very long time, and I've always wished to perform there. And when I heard about it, I was so happy, because being based in Europe sometimes means that you don't get to connect much with people in the African market, African people, African booking agencies, and, you know, many other people. So I have been at a point in my career where I feel like I am failing to connect with people back home, because yes. I work in Germany. I work with a German record label, German booking agency, and most of the people that I work with are German. And I've been trying to take the music back to Africa, not just to Zimbabwe, South Africa, Kenya, Ghana, everywhere. And I needed such a platform. I needed a platform like this to connect with other people. So I am so excited and I'm so happy to be part of this amazing event.
Fantastic. Let's play one of your songs, Awan. I think this one was released last year. Oh, I've just stepped away from the computer and I've got to turn it on. This one, again, like the last one I mentioned, I think you're going to have to pronounce this one. This one's Ngeke Bengimele. Yes, thank you so much. Tell us about the song, please, Awa.
Okay, so this is a song that I did with Ghanaian Stallion called Ngeke Bengimele. The song Ngeke Bengimele means they can't handle me. This is just a song where I was showing off my rap skills and my beautiful language is in Ndebele with a lot of clicks. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Speaking to two of the people who are making possible the Reeperbahn Festival, but more importantly for today, the African or the Pan-African musical content and showcases, as well as two of the beautiful artists. Both of them do hip-hop, but both of them in each their own beautiful, unique way. On the World Show. Kaya 959 on the street and on the air, and right now we're in the streets of Hamburg, even though I'm coming to you from Johannesburg. What a pleasure it is to have Alexander Schultz together with Evelyn Sieber from the Reeperbahn Festival and Eugen Blackrock and Awa Kiwe. You just heard Awa, one of our tracks there in the background, and there are more African artists being showcased. Actually, just listening to you guys chat while the song was playing, I was like, oh, I'm missing festivals. I want to be there. But because I can feel this energy, you know, that comes with everybody sharing and getting excited about performing, and, you know, and I'd love to be backstage.
I was on stage tomorrow.
Yes. And I wish I was getting on stage saying, big hands for Eugen Blackrock from South Africa. Yes. But beautiful. Let's go back once again to Alex and Evelyn, and then I really do want to focus on some more of the music. But Alex, how do people become part of this Reeperbahn community, whether they're able to go this year, next year, in the future, or whether they're able to actually join online?
Both is possible this year, because as I said before, we learned so, I mean, it has been possible in these years before the pandemic, but as I mentioned, we learned that much last year in our very special digital edition, which we had to do like we did it because of the pandemic, and we're going to, of course, stick to these digital broadcasting streaming event opportunities.
Yes.
Even if we are very much struggling on bringing up the event like it has been before.
Yes.
We right now we are expecting that we have the possibility to, yeah, I would say at least do not have any or only little influences from pandemic rules in September, and we're expecting to come back to a nearly normal event.
Yes.
But yeah, as I mentioned before, we're taking all these learnings from from the pandemic edition in 2020, and want to double lots and lots of concerts. We would offer them to all the public out there in the world, and
yes.
we would also offer, because this we know to the music professionals in some territories in the world, our panels and sessions, discussing sessions, interviews and matchmakings digitally in streams,
yes,
or in digital rooms wherever they would stay. This is really, yeah, so to say, a new kind of addition, and we want to stick to this option.
Yes. Now, you've also featuring, as I say, this African showcase this year, being African hip hop is what I would describe it as. But but I see that also on your panels you have quite a few representatives also coming from the African continent. So is this something that you see as going to be an integral part? You're not going to ignore our continent in the future. From this point on, it's always going to have African representation. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I mean, well, our self-understanding for our event is, sorry, Evelyn, but you can add it.
Next. Yes.
But offer a culture from all over the world within the genres I just mentioned before,
yes,
of course, to the music, business, people and family in the world.
Yes.
And we're the platform and the marketplace at the same time. I mean, we want to spread culture ideas and, of course, marketing opportunities at the same time. That's the structure of our event.
Yes.
And we are, since a few years, we do have the opportunity and possibility and the budget, so to say, from the federal government to spread its focus on certain territories. And yes, Africa is one of them. Why? Because the cultural influences from Africa are so strong. Why? Because it's a market question as well. Markets from all globally, markets want to go into Africa, and
yes,
vice versa. I mean, African culture and music and African business wants to go globally. So,
yes,
I mean, it was an opportunity at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, kind of duty to focus. Besides, we also have China on focus and Asia.
Yes.
Besides these two new markets, these are our new focus markets where we do very special events besides our main event in Hamburg. Sorry, Evelyn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Evelyn, you wanted to add to that?
Actually, no, yes, the only thing is that it's, especially because also Africa is getting more and more important in the European market, like the influences get more and more, and but it's just really hard, I think, for the Europeans to understand the African market, and we don't want to, you know, treat and bringing in the European structure and implementing it on, dumping it on Africa,
yes,
to deal with it.
Cultural colonization, I sometimes,
yeah, exactly,
call it.
I mean,
yes,
that's absolutely,
yes,
not what we want, and it's not going to work anyway, because everything is happening so differently, and I'm learning so much.
Yes.
And of course, you know, when you think about the event in Hamburg, because, I mean, there are 6,000 music industry professionals from around the world.
Yes.
And of course, of this, when Africa becomes stronger now, it will grow and continuously grow. But of course, it's one event, and there's so much input in this. So that's why I'm especially happy that with the support of the foreign ministry, that we have the funding actually to go into the territories and learn,
yes,
there and understand there from the people. That's I can't stretch this point enough. That's what's going to help us understand the African continent, and there's not only one market there.
Yes.
Also, you know,
yes,
understanding the differences and learning.
Yes.
And we couldn't possibly do this only with the Hamburg event, because it's just too massive in itself already,
yes,
to add so much diversity from Africa in a respectful way.
Yes, absolutely. But I see it as something that will evolve, as I'm sure, as you go along. Now, just to wrap up in terms of, you know, the festival and what's happening with the African showcase that starts, is it tomorrow? Yes,
yeah,
it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. How can people access it? Go to the website, Repaban Festival website. Is that the best way? If people wanted to, haven't paid or to be part of the festival, they can go now. Yes.
There is. You can go to our Repaban Festival's Facebook site.
Yes.
There's the live stream starting at 8, And also our lovely partner, they're fantastic. Hi, Eddie. Hi, Claire.
Yes.
From Music in Africa.
Hi, fantastic. Eddie and Claire.
and because they are cross-posting it on their page as
yes.
well. And if you are listening and if you are interested in music industry in that part, because that's an internal platform here, and because we want to make it as easy as possible, especially for the African side, you can get in touch with the Music in Africa Foundation, who have a free code.
Yes.
So industry from Africa are more than welcome to
yes.
to join us on the platform and see where the panels are happening and the sessions and things like that. So
fantastic. Yes. Yes. Music in Africa, Ria Paban Festival, check it out on Facebook. You'll make contact there. And one last thing, as part of this particular African showcase we are talking about, we've got our Kiwe, we've got Ugin Blackrock here, but you've also got a couple of other African artists coming featured. Do you want to talk about them? I'm going to play the one from Nigeria next. Who else is coming as part of the showcase?
Well, we have Calvin Colt. He's actually German, but he's with Nigerian roots. He's quite famous in Europe already.
Yes.
And the aim is to bring two artists from Europe and two artists from Africa.
Yes.
So that they can kind of cross the continent.
Yes.
That's the idea. So he would be considered German.
Yes.
And then we have Thames from Nigeria,
yes.
who is also, and same as Eugen, because they can't travel live and perform live in Hamburg, they have prepared videos for us exclusively, so they will be integrated in the show. So those are the two other artists that we, and Ava and Calvin are going to perform live in Hamburg for this.
Fantastic. In fact, I'm going to play a track from Thames coming up next. It's called Interference off the album For Broken Ears. Temilade Opinia is her full name, but most people just love her and know her as Thames. And I thank you so much, Alexander and Evelyn. You're welcome to stay on, but I'm going to focus more now on our two beautiful artists. Thanks for joining us. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for
Thanks a lot, Nikki.
It's a pleasure.
Ever.
Yes, yeah. And I'll definitely be watching a few things here, there, and listening to some speakers as well in the next few days, and of course in September as well. Thank you for joining us. Coming up now on Kaya, a song by another hip-hop artist, although she tends more on the soulful side of things, Temilade Opinia, better known as Tems, on The World Show. Another one of the African artists that will be performing as part of Ria Paban's showcase, Temilade Opinia. The album, the new one, is called For Broken Ears, and that track is Interference. I told you she's very soulful, but she also does, strong rap as well. Absolutely beautiful. Thanks to Alex and Evelyn, they have now left us. And, of course, I'm back on home turf now, meaning that, you know me, I always love it when my musical family is with me, and the two artists, Eugin Blackrock and Awakiwe, are with me. And obviously, usually when I feature a specific artist, we have lots of time. But I wanted to take a moment just to talk to each of you about your work, your inspirations. And the first question I'm going to ask, listening, you know, I was listening to both of your music and some of the other artists featured when I was preparing, and I was thinking, roots, it's all about the roots. What is the roots? Eugin, let's start with you. When I say to you, Eugin, musically speaking, poetically speaking, what are your roots? What are those things that defined where you have ended up today?
Okay, I'm glad we have enough time for this.
Yes.
I was just reflecting the other day. It was my mother's birthday on Friday. So I was sitting there thinking about how she was the first person that I knew had a songbook. I think in the early 90s, you'd listen to music and then you'd sort of transcribe the lyrics of your favorite songs in a
yes.
book, you know? But in my mind at that time, I wasn't so great at speaking English. I think I just started learning it. And my mom used to love listening to like country western music. She'd love her Johnny Cash, there's Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, all these folks. Maybe some Ella Fitzgerald every now and then to keep it a bit funky.
Yes.
But I'd read through these songbooks, and in my childish mind, I thought my mother was writing songs for Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was so in awe. So in awe. And when I got to school, I didn't really enjoy it, as most kids, you know.
Yes.
But English class, I must say, Shakespeare, when we started going through the sonnets and the rhyming couplets and all this stuff, this is around the time I fell in love with hip-hop. So there's a love for poetry.
Yes.
I guess a scholastic understanding of it, because I feel like Shakespeare helped me to understand hip hop.
I love that.
Imagine that. Oh, there's rhymes. Oh yeah, okay, there's a rhythm. And the way our teacher used to do da 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 da.
Yes.
Ta-da-da-ta-da-da-ta-da-da-ta. Girls, do you hear the rhythm? We're like, yes. You know, in my head, I'm like, yeah. Because hip-hop is falling into place.
Yes.
And then I would say also the teenage angsty years where we're just listening to anything that's sort of emo, even if it was some Evanescence, something cheesy like this, or Nirvana, a little Pearl Jam.
Yes.
At the same time, coming up, there's Brenda Fassie, you know,
yes.
Yvonne Chaka Chaka, there's
yes.
Mango Groove, there's yes. PJ Powers. She's kind of this white lady that black people like, and
yes.
she stands for something, and they're calling her Tandiwe. So all these artists kind of broke barriers for me. So as much as they make like different styles of music, I think the common point is that a regular person that just becomes super, you
yes.
know, that's what really makes me tick. You know, I love hearing fantastic artists, but as soon as I remember this is a human being who is just doing extra, I can appreciate them so much more than just thinking of them as, oh, they're famous people, there's
yes,
nothing to relate
a celebrity,
to
yeah.
or celebrity. No,
yes.
there's no such thing. It's a human being who's doing a hell of a lot
yes.
that, you know, you can be thankful for, that you can enjoy, etc.
Yes.
So I think musically, this is really my thing. From
yes.
the Sunday smooth jams and the jazz and the R&B, Lionel Richie on Sunday. This is the kind of stuff that kind of formed or a link
yes.
that I can now, when I write, and I'm in my 30s now, I want that same feeling when I heard the Righteous mm. Brothers, you know what I mean, Unchained Melody. I want to feel that way when I write, because I know if I can project enough energy into that sentence, it will hit the listener the same way these guys hit me. This is all I want to do.
Yes.
Just pass on the goodness, you know, the feeling.
Yes.
Prince, or,
yes.
you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And for you, the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for me, I started writing when I was very young, when I was in primary school. I used to move around a lot with my mother. My mother didn't have a permanent job back then. She was working as a temporary teacher, so we would change schools every term, sometimes every year. And I never got to play with many people, because every time I would make friends, we would move, and then I would leave them behind and be sad. So I started writing a lot. I would write poems. When I was 10, I started writing seriously, and my love for poetry was influenced by praise poetry, Ndebele
yes.
praise poetry,
yes.
because I grew up in the rural areas in Gai, Matabeleland North in Zimbabwe, and we would have praise poetry at traditional ceremonies, weddings, funerals, and you know, that influenced my music and my love for developed poetry.
Yes.
And I also loved hip-hop as well, which was quite strange for someone who grew up in the rural areas.
Yes.
My brothers obviously would play a lot of Jay-Z, Tupac, and I loved hip-hop a lot. And my brother said, you know, you love hip-hop, and you love poetry, why don't you just blend the two and see what comes up? And yeah. I thought it was crazy. I was like, what are you talking about? This yeah. is not going to work. He said, no, it's going to work, because you are good with rhymes and you've got a nice flow mm. and you've got nice wordplay. Just try it. And And then I started like writing my poetry and playing some beats and trying to blend everything to see how it was going to work.
Yes.
And it was beautiful.
Yes.
And it was beautiful. People liked it. And I also liked it. I was like, oh my God. And
yes.
I never stopped doing that. And it wasn't really a smooth journey. It took a lot for me to find myself because
I was frozen for a second there. So I think, though, for now, while we get Awa back, because she seems to have come back, although the mind... Put unmute yourself, Awa.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, don't worry. It does happen with the networks, you know? So
yeah,
don't worry.
I'm
yes.
So
no. don't worry. It's happened worse in the past. it happens to the best of us. That I promise you. But, you know, it's interesting what you're saying, because firstly, I wanted to ask, have you always written your poetry in Ndebele?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have.
Yes.
Since I was like 10, I have.
Yes. Amazing. And one of the things I thought about, you know, tonight I played African hits that have been part of the world show's history. And I opened with Ishmael Lowe's Jamu Africa. And strangely enough, I remember speaking to Ishmael Lowe about hip hop. And he said to me, but hip-hop started in Africa. It started with the phrase poets. It started with the griots. It started with the call and response across the river. And that's something that I started thinking of when speaking and listening to both of you. So I think for now, let's play another track from Eugen, and I want to make sure that we have time for another track from Awa as well. Eugen, this one's Picture Box. It's also off your latest album. And, tell us about Picture Box. Well, I suppose it explains itself. Yeah. But what...
Picture Box, I wanted to talk about how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how the world sees us. And I used the old name for the TV, the picture box, which is really what it is, you know,
yes.
A box of moving pictures, to kind of make an example of it. You know, generally, it's to say that we tend to sometimes distance ourselves from ourselves, whether it's your culture or your language, to fit into a different space, not knowing that there are whole industries and machines and systems that are working to duplicate your specialness.
Yes.
That thing that you're so quickly chucking away to fit into this cookie cutter mold is so priceless. You have whole industries trying to replicate you.
Yes.
They do that. And then you watch it on TV and you get so impressed.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I could be like that.
Yes.
That's you. There is no industry without you. You know?
Absolutely.
And the more you love yourself and you have strength in yourself, there's a line there. I wrote it, but now I forgot it. I'd rather stay blind to mass appeal than kill the art for it. It's just one line.
Yes.
And it's so self-explanatory.
Yes.
You know, be yourself. Don't worry so much what's being thrown in your eyes on the TV, what's being thrown in your ears, except if it's the world show on the radio. You know what I mean? There's a lot of external things that happen all the time, and you need to be in touch with yourself a bit more.
Thank you so much.
So Picture Box is really about that.
Yes. Beautiful lyrics always, Eugen, and it's amazing how you juxtapose them with these really edgy beats. And Awa, I have no understanding of your lyrics, but I know they're beautiful too. I know they're absolutely beautiful too. So you'll tell us more about it when I play the next song. But this one is from Eugen Blackrock. It's off her latest album, Anima Mysterium, Picture Box, on The World Show. You're with me, Nikki B. Kaya 9 959. That, of course, is Eugen Blackrock of her latest album, Anima Mysterium, Picture Box. And wow, Eugen, as I say, you've got this amazing way of juxtaposing these incredibly conscious lyrics with these, like, really edgy, as I say, post-apocalyptic sometimes grooves. What a beautiful, beautiful kind of contrast is what I say.
Oh, thank you, Nikki.
But I noticed with you, and although our, my apologies, Ndebele is not my first language, but I know, I can hear from the way that you rap, that your message is also a message of consciousness, of awareness, making a difference.
Right.
Yes, both of you are women. And I don't use that lightly, just spreading messages that are so important in these times. Tell us a little bit about some of the themes you work with, Awa.
Okay, so when I write songs, I'm usually inspired by what's happening around me, the things that I see, and I write about a lot of issues that I see in Zimbabwe, in my society, or issues that are happening even if I'm not there, things that I see other people experiencing. In my music, I address issues like gender-based violence, rape, a lot of politics as well, Zimbabwean politics, government corruption, looting of government funds, police brutality, xenophobia. So I would say a lot of social issues, but I also balance with party songs, feel good music, and yes. I usually show off the cliques a lot. I show off the cliques a lot. The cliques are beautiful. Everyone must hear them.
Yes. Absolutely beautiful. And you know, as I say, yours is a hip hop, but it takes me also back to my roots from growing up and being born in this country, and just knowing those sounds and feeling, knowing where it comes from, you know, that's really the roots of it. Yes. Now, again, I look at both of you, these beautiful women who are spreading sometimes not easy messages, necessary messages, using your music as a tool all the time. But hip hop is a predominantly male dominated industry. Have you met challenges, or have you kind of just, how's it been for you as women? Let's start again with Awa, and then we'll move to Eugen. How's it been for you as a woman?
Honestly, from my experience, there's a lot of misogyny in the hip-hop industry. Every time I go to places to perform, people always ask me, are you here to dance or to sing? And when I tell them, no, I'm here to rap, just like you, you know, they always look down on me somehow or question my hip-hop knowledge. I always find people trying to question if I really know about hip-hop. And I feel that sometimes they're not taken seriously. Sometimes they're not taken seriously, and I have to fight through that. I have been fighting to be recognized as a fellow hip-hop artist, and sometimes we have to work 10 times harder than male artists just to get half the recognition. And I think the best way to fight that is to put out great music and to create your own spaces, because sometimes you won't be included when they speak about hip-hop artists. They'll think, oh, they'll discuss their hip-hop, and then later on, just pick one token female to balance things, and then say, okay, oh, and there's also females, just to keep it balanced. But we're not really included in the spaces, and it's so important for us to create our own spaces. And if you do get a chance to be in any of these hip hop spaces that are there, you need to leave a mark. You need to roar the loudest and show them that you're there and own that space. I always make sure that wherever I go, I make them know, we see hip hop is there, females can rap, we body, we don't play. We don't play.
Beautiful, beautiful. And for you, Eugen, what's been your experience as a woman in this world?
Really, I'm feeling like the quiet cheerleading team there as I was talking, because really, it's ridiculous. We all have the same story, that same challenge. I've been, are you the backup dancer? Surely you don't need the mic, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, you know, and I laughed my head off because you tend to think it's just you. Because hip-hop also is based on skill and the era that we came up on, I would think, oh, I'm not getting any recognition because I'm pretty not good, you know?
Yes.
Or I'm not doing enough here and I'm not doing enough there. But once you do start to notice that, oh, actually, I came here as an MC, and the folks in the culture are making sure to make me feel like a woman.
Yes.
There's no need for it. We could all be MCs, and that's
I'm an
fine.
Artist.
We're just speaking
that's
from
it.
Different perspectives.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an artist.
Yes.
My perspective, yes, might be feminine in certain ways. Even that can't really be stereotyped. But I did find as well that that's the place that reminds you of what you are in society. You're a woman.
Absolutely.
So there's no curiosity about what you're going to do.
Yes.
You can see a guy there with big dreads and a beard. You're like, oh, he's going to be heavy. You're already thinking what his voice is going to sound like or how he's going to handle the mic. When it comes to women, you don't bother.
Yes.
In fact, I hope she does something. You know, there's so much expectation. Also, like, they also expect so little from us in terms of skills, which I really don't understand. So when you do go out there and you do rap and you could be doing the best, the guys will always try to pull you down. They will not nice performance, but hey, you rap like a dude.
Yes.
Like, you should be happy for that. You know, it's very subtle things that often guys don't even understand they're doing. Guys don't even see that they're doing because it has been a boys' club for so long. There hasn't been much, hey, maybe don't do that. Hey, maybe a better way to do this is this, you know? But with every culture, change has to come with the ages. And in the last, maybe in the last 10 years, I've found a bigger, not like an awakening, because the women have been there all along, but they're finally getting the attention that they deserve. And we're not being put in a space of female hip hop as though there's nothing that a man can relate to, you know, with in my experience. Of course you can. We're all human beings. So in terms of those challenges, hip hop's challenges will always be what society's challenges are. As long as society is misogynistic, hip hop will be misogynistic because we're only expressing what we're living. Hip hop is not just misogynistic because it decided to, it's the people in it.
Yes.
And that's not just the men, it's also the women who buy into this stuff. You know what I mean? And we're not here to be pointing and blah, 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 but this is how it is. These are the challenges.
Yes.
A woman will tell you, your voice sounds nice, but maybe try to be more sexy. That I find very disappointing because, girl, you know what I had to do to get here. You
but
know
you
how much
know.
I had to fight for myself to be here. And you, as a woman, are asking me to throw all this away. So when we even talk about a sisterhood, we need to be clear about what we're saying. You know, you can't be dictating how to be a woman, not in society, not in hip-hop, not in any art form.
Absolutely.
The same way we don't dictate what men should do. You know, so I think the challenges, they do add to your character. They do strengthen you. You know, we didn't get to be here because we were saying yes to everything.
Yes.
It's because we risked playing the devil. If you need me to be the devil, I will be. But I will rap on that stage and you won't stop.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, both of you. I'm going to end with a track. Excuse me, I had flu. It's not COVID. But so beautiful. I love you both. Eugen Blackrock, Awa Kiwe. And I think I've got to ask Awa to pronounce the name of this beautiful song and tell us about it.
Okay. So this song is called Sunganda Mate. Nganda Mate means the one who kisses me. It's a pet name, just like Stando Sami, sweetheart, my love. And I wrote the song when I was in high school. It was a poem that I wrote when I was in high school. How old was I? I was 16. Yeah, I was 16. So I think it's 12 years old now.
Yes.
And it was beautiful. It's one of my favorite poems. So I made it a song. And I love the clicks on this song so much. And every time.
We lost Awa again. Eugen, Awa, I love you both. Awa's back. Finish what you were saying, Awa.
I don't know why this thing keeps on cutting me off every time when I'm saying something important.
Yeah, like when you sing no, and then it
like
says
when
no,
I'm saying
in
no,
the church.
It cuts me off. When I'm saying no, it cuts me off. I don't understand.
That no
anyway, I'm
go
back.
Straight.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm back. And I was saying that the clips are so beautiful.
Yes.
And so I had to make it a song. I couldn't just leave it there. I had to make it a song. So yeah, that's what inspired the song, Nikki.
Thank you so much, both of you. Love you both. I'll be playing your music on the World Show, not just today, but in future. Eugen Blackrock, Awa Kiwe, catch them both as part of the Reeperbahn Festival Showcase that's starting tomorrow. And of course, you both are no strangers to the World Show. So I hope to see you again soon. Yes, bye-bye.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.